I don't think you've had any difficulty wondering what I'm going to preach about from the hymns that we've sung. I'm going to speak to you on the 23rd Psalm, on the theme, the Shepherd Lord. And this psalm, which is so familiar and precious to all of us, is a psalm which only sounds right in the King James Version. Now, perhaps that is my 1940 to 50 ear, but it has a dignity and it has a flow that simply cannot be duplicated in any of the other more modern versions. And so I am reading the text of Psalm 23 from the authorized version of 1611. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This beautiful psalm, this lovely poem, for it is Hebrew poetry, inspired Hebrew poetry. This lovely poem comes to us in two voices. Now, it may seem strange for me to say two voices, but this is what I mean by that. The first voice we hear in this psalm is that of the psalmist himself. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the personal voice of the poet. The subjective voice of the poet. He speaks of himself as the subject of the Lord's shepherding. God is personally related to him as shepherd. Now, this subjective or personal, or we might even say devotional voice of the psalmist, is a voice in response. It is a voice answering another voice, the second voice in this psalm. That second voice is God's voice. But not just God's own voice in general, rather the second voice of this psalm is God's objective voice in history. You see, God has done something in history. God has done some objective divine act or deed in history which has brought the psalmist to take up his pen and to write, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, we are not told what that objective historical act of God was. For example, in Psalm 78, God is called the one who leads Israel like a flock at the exodus from Egypt. But that event, the Exodus event, is not the mighty act of God which seems to be behind Psalm 23. You will notice the title to the psalm in your English Bible. It says, "A Psalm of David." Now, I need to point out that the titles are not divinely inspired. They are not part of the original Hebrew text. They are there because they have been derived from Hebrew tradition. Attributing this psalm to David suggests that the second voice, the objective voice in Psalm 23, may refer to an incident in David's life as a shepherd when God displayed his mighty hand of protection and guidance. David says as much in 1 Samuel 17. You will remember he alludes to God's mighty hand of protection as he was guarding his father's sheep. God delivered the lion and the bear into his hand, even as David was confident in 1 Samuel 17 that God would deliver the giant Goliath into his hand. Thus, it is possible that the historical occasion for the 23rd Psalm, the act of God in history, which inspired these words, was God's providential care of David while he tended his father's flock in the hills of Bethlehem. You see, I am suggesting there are two voices speaking in this psalm. The devotional or subjective voice of David and the historical or objective voice of God's act on David's behalf. Now follow me as I suggest further that these two voices interface with one another. They overlap one another. In fact, David is drawn into the drama of the objective act of God in history. This is very important. This is very important in understanding this psalm. Psalm 23 is not merely a precious piece of biblical poetry. It is more than that. Psalm 23 is the expression of a person's soul, a person's entire being drawn into the drama, drawn into the story of what God has done for him. If God delivered David from the lion and the bear, David experiences the real shepherd, the ultimate shepherd. And from that objective historical experience, David confesses, "The Lord is my shepherd." I am emphasizing this point of the devotional voice of the psalm and the objective voice of the psalm coming together because there is no concrete historical experience. There is concrete historical experience behind Psalm 23, and if that is absent, if there is no concrete history behind this psalm, then this psalm is just another piece of poetry. It is no different than a poem by Shakespeare, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, or T.S. Eliot. You see, there are all kinds of lovely poetry, including Psalm 23. But this poem in the Bible is different, and it purports to be a revelation from God, a revelation of God acting in history on David's behalf so as to cause David to express his own personal response to what God has done in these wonderful, familiar, poetic phrases. God acts, David reacts. God acts in history, David reacts in poetry. And in his reaction, David confesses that God has made him a participant. God has brought David into the story. God has brought David into a story greater than the story of King Saul and the giant Goliath. David is a participant in God's story of redemption. He, David, has become part of the drama. The Lord is my shepherd. I am his sheep. So Psalm 23 is more. It is much more than a sweet poem. It is part of the drama of redemption. It is part of the history of redemption. It tells us about more than David's feelings. It tells us about God's mighty saving acts in history. Now, when we realize that this poem is about more than our devotional experience, when we understand that this poem is about the history of redemption, we are then prepared to understand the ending of this psalm, even as we understand the end of the history of redemption. Verse 6 of Psalm 23 is eschatological. Now, that word eschatological need not intimidate you. When I use that word eschatological, think heavenly. Substitute the word heavenly for the word eschatological, and you will have an easy way of understanding what I mean by that term. That is what verse 6 of our text is saying, isn't it? That David longs to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, the heavenly house of the Lord. What else is that but his assurance that his shepherd Lord will bring him to heaven at last? The God who revealed himself as David's protector in the matter of the bear and the lion will surely, surely complete David's history with eternal life in heaven. The God who first acted in history for David will also act for David at the end. The history of redemption ends with eschatology. It ends with heaven itself. But in fact, we can say that eschatology casts its shadow over the whole history of redemption, so that the hope of heaven, the reality of heaven, penetrates into David's life even as he lives that life. In the midst of his devotional and historical life, David longs for heaven, verse 6. We find this pattern of eschatological, remember heavenly, we find this pattern of eschatological hope in other psalms besides Psalm 23. Whom have I in heaven save thee? Psalm 73, verse 25. One thing have I asked from the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Psalm 27, verse 4. The psalmists are looking to the end of God's mighty acts in salvation history. They are looking to life in heaven with their Lord forever. Let us look at Psalm 23 in a little more detail, remembering the two voices, the devotional and redemptive historical voice, as well as remembering the eschatological hope of heaven at the end of the psalm. The psalm begins with a precious metaphor: the Lord is my shepherd. The pastoral image projected by this metaphor controls every section of this psalm. We hear this psalm, and vivid pictures are etched upon our minds and hearts. In fact, this psalm is bundled or wrapped up tightly with vivid images from the field or from the stream or from the home. The images which strike our minds and hearts are balanced images. The scholars call this binary symmetry. Binary symmetry. You can see it in your English versions. Lie down, green pastures. A balanced or binary pattern. Notice verse 3. Leads me in the paths of righteousness. A balanced image. Verse 4. Thou art with me. And finally, verse 6. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The 23rd Psalm has a definite literary poetic structure. It is arranged in balanced or binary images. These images or pictures become more intense as we move from pastures to the valley of the shadow to confrontation with enemies, to an eternal dwelling house. Notice how we travel. We travel from verdant or green pastures in verse 2 to the vale, the dark valley of death, verse 4. We have moved from a pastoral setting to a dreadful setting. Or notice how we travel from gently flowing water streams in verse 2 to tense confrontation with enemies in verse 5. We have moved from a pacific or peaceful setting to a setting brimming with belligerence. Finally, notice how we travel from the Shepherd Lord's Emmanuel presence, His Thou Art With Me presence, verse 4, to the Lord's eternal dwelling house, verse 6. We have moved from the setting of God's immanence, God with me, to the realm of God's transcendence, the home where God will dwell with me forever. So this lovely Hebrew poem is precisely structured in balanced phrases. Phrases which intensify as we move through the drama and the imagery of the psalm. Now I want you to observe several more things about the structure of this psalm. Structure, you see, is frequently a clue to meaning. Notice the beginning and ending of the psalm. Verse 1 and verse 6. The psalm begins with the Lord is my shepherd. And the psalm ends with the Lord, the house of the Lord. The Lord Yahweh or Jehovah at the beginning of the psalm, the Lord Yahweh or Jehovah at the end of the psalm, the images of the psalm are enclosed by the Lord at the beginning and at the end. Students of literature call this an inclusio. And inclusio, like bookends holding together a shelf of novels, God Himself is the wrapper. God Himself is the bookend. God Himself is the enclosure around the balanced images of Psalm 23. The psalmist, the poet, David is enclosed. He is enwrapped in the Lord God Jehovah. And when you read this psalm, when you hear this psalm, when you sing this psalm, you are enwrapped, you are enclosed by the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord at the beginning and the Lord at the end of your song. And in between the beginning and the end, I, thou, I shall not want, verse 1. Thou art with me, verse 4. I will fear no evil, verse 4. Thou preparest a table, verse 5. I will dwell, verse 6. Thou anointest my head, verse 5. I, thou, the poem moves back and forth from God to the psalmist, from the psalmist to God. Even the personal relationship, the I-thou relationship is balanced. It is binary. God and David in a balanced relationship. David belongs to the Lord. The Lord is David's pastor. The Lord at the beginning, the Lord at the end. David enclosed in his shepherd, Lord. The Lord related to David. David in relationship with the Lord, I, thou. And now, one final amazing detail. It is impossible for you to see this in your English translations. But in the original Hebrew text of this psalm, there is a phrase that forms the very center, the very midpoint of this poem. There are exactly 26 Hebrew words before this phrase, and there are exactly 26 Hebrew words after this phrase. Dead center in Psalm 23 is the phrase, Thou art with me. Look at that. At the extremes of the psalm, the Lord Yahweh. At the beginning and end of the psalm, David's Lord. But also at the very center of the psalm, Yahweh with me. Amazing. From the beginning to the middle to the end, David in union with his Lord, his shepherd Lord. This wonderful psalm is about union. I-thou union. Sweet, mystical union between the shepherd and his lamb. This psalm is David's confession that he is a lamb. A lamb whom God maketh to lie down in green pastures. A lamb whom God leadeth beside still waters. A lamb whose soul God restoreth. A lamb whose permanent dwelling place is the house of the Lord. There is dynamic imagery in this psalm. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness, verse 3. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, verse 4. But there is also static imagery in this psalm. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, verse 2. He restoreth my soul, verse 3. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, verse 6. This static imagery suggests an absolute state, a perfect state. A perfect state of full and absolute possession. The state of perfect and absolute possession of the shepherd Lord, God Himself. My shepherd Lord, Thou art with me. I will forever dwell with Thee. David is saying that he is sure. He is sure of absolute permanent possession of the Lord as his shepherd. In other words, David is confident that the Lord will never be to him other than a shepherd. The Lord will never be a wolf to David. The Lord will never be a destroyer. He will never be a tyrant. He will never be an oppressor. He will never be a death dealer. David is confident that the Lord will never abandon him, nor desert him, nor forsake him, nor leave him. The Lord will never cast David away from his dwelling place. The Lord will never dispossess David of his divine dwelling house. No, never, not ever. In the present and in the future, David is confident of his absolute possession of his Lord. Now, the Lord with him. In the future, in the not yet, the Lord will be with him, even unto an eternal dwelling. The two voices of the psalm, the devotional and the historical, the two voices of the psalm describe a balanced relationship which is historical and eschatological. This psalm is describing a relationship between David and his Lord, which is historical and heavenly. Historical, like a shepherd saving a lamb. Heavenly, like an eternal resident in an eternal dwelling place. But even more wonderfully, the historical experience of David becomes a revelation. It becomes a revelation of the heavenly shepherd, the eschatological shepherd. This does not take us completely by surprise. We are used to reading Psalm 23 and then turning ahead to the Gospel of John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We instinctively read the historical 23rd Psalm of David in the light of the eschatological shepherd of the Gospel of John chapter 10. We do it naturally. We do it biblically, theologically. We do it redemptive historically. Psalm 23 draws us into the fellowship of the sweet communion that David enjoyed with his Lord. The divine shepherd condescends. The divine shepherd comes down to draw the lamb, this David, into permanent union and communion with himself. God penetrates time and space history to unite the soul of his beloved lamb, David, with the heavenly shepherd. And he unites the soul of that lamb unto himself in such a way that there will be present and future, never-ending union and communion between the two in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. The heavenly pastor and the earthly believer intimately united, inseparably. And so Psalm 23 describes the relationship of the union between the divine shepherd Lord and his human lamb. Wonderful indeed. But let me suggest something this morning even more wonderful. Let me suggest the divine shepherd, human lamb pattern in reverse. Ah, consider this. Consider this pattern. The shepherd becomes the lamb. Consider this pattern. The shepherd trades places with the lamb. And then consider the pattern in which the antithesis, the opposite of the shadow of death and life, are reversed. Consider the pattern, the reverse antithesis in which the one who possesses eternal life submits himself to the shadow of death. Consider the pattern in which the tables are turned. The enemies anoint the head with agony and shame. The cup is drained to the very dregs. Consider the pattern in which the two voices, God's voice and the human voice, consider the pattern in which the two voices are ruptured, racked with pathetic separation. Consider the pattern in which the very opposite of union and communion with God is felt. Consider the pattern in which the relationship of permanent fellowship recoils in dereliction, abandonment, rejection. Consider the pattern in which the very wrath of God is poured out in desertion and forsakenness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Consider that pattern. Now, as we look at Psalm 23, as we look at Psalm 23 from the standpoint of the reverse pattern, we realize that this precious psalm begins to express the wonder, the amazing grace, the everlasting love of the Lord God, who himself incarnates himself in history. The divine shepherd Lord becomes a lamb so that he may reverse the reverse pattern. The divine shepherd becomes a lamb so that he can incarnate the very life of God in the flesh. Psalm 23 becomes prophecy. The shepherd becomes a lamb so that he may die in the place of his sheep. David could never do that. But the one who said, I am the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He could do that. This divine shepherd, this divinely good shepherd, this divinely eschatological shepherd can incarnate the reverse pattern so that his lambs, his sinful lambs, can be joined to him, united to him in a bond as sweet as the bond between David and his shepherd Lord. Behold the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne and shall be their shepherd. And he shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. David's sweet poem draws David, draws us into the mystery of heaven. Heaven's mystery. That in the fullness of time, what David shepherd confessed about his Lord, his divine shepherd, what David lamb confessed about a lamb's devotion and possession, that could only be true, that could only come to pass if the divine shepherd, the eschatological shepherd, changed places with the sheep. And thus in the fullness of time, the fullness of Psalm 23. A mirror of the union and communion of the shepherd and his sheep, which incarnates the very essence of Psalm 23. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing in Christ. By him I go in and out and am saved and find pasture. The Lord Jesus makes me lie down beside streams of living water. He restores my soul. He goes before me, leading me in straight paths, and I follow. Though I walk in death's dark shadow, the Lord Jesus is the light and the life of the world. No evil do I fear. For the evil of my fears, Jesus has borne. Emmanuel, God with me, has borne all my evils in my place. He gathers me about his table, his overflowing, superabundant table, and all the days of my life. This good shepherd draws me into his house, his everlasting house, his heavenly places house, so that where Jesus, my shepherd, dwells, I do dwell and I shall dwell forever and ever and ever. Amen. Our Father, you have written the fullness of this wonderful psalm in the revelation and incarnation of your Son, the Good Shepherd of the sheep, the last and eschatological David. But you revealed to David the wonder of that union and communion with you through the shepherd who would give his life that his sheep might be ransomed from death and so dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Father, we bless you for the words of this psalm. We bless you for the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as we read it and sing it and meditate upon it, may we see Jesus in it. For he is the fullness of our union and communion with you. Bless this psalm to our hearts and lives. For we pray in the name of the Shepherd Lord, Jesus himself.